welcome to episode 9 of the Curly W Live podcast. As a reminder, you can always find the podcast on our blog, Curly W Live, which is curlyw.mlblogs.com, nationals.com/podcast, and on iTunes. Search Curly W Live. So this is our first episode of the offseason, but we wanted to put a bow on the 2017 season as a whole with a look at the Arizona Fall League. For those that don't know, the Arizona Fall League is known throughout baseball as a finishing school for Major League Baseball's elite prospects. It is a six-team league owned and operated by Major League Baseball, with each team consisting of prospects from five organizations. Teams play a six-week schedule from the beginning of October through mid-November. The Nationals had eight players and one coach representing them on the Mesa Solar Sox. The club went 16-13-1 before falling in the championship game to the Peoria Javelinas. To discuss the AFL season as well as 2017 season as a whole, we checked in on outfielder Daniel Johnson and pitching coach Michael Tejera. Daniel Johnson enjoyed a breakout season in 2017, eventually being named Washington's Minor League Player of the Year. He hit .298 with 29 doubles, 4 triples, 22 home runs, and 72 RBI in 130 games between Single-A Hagerstown and Single-A Potomac. So we talked to Daniel about his breakout 2017 season, which was his second in professional baseball. He was selected in the 2016 draft. We talked about his Fall League experience and what he does to get ready for 2018. And for Michael Tejera, who spent the previous seven seasons as pitching coach of the GCL Nationals, we talked about his AFL experience, some of his coaching philosophies, what he will do to prepare for AA, as he has been named the pitching coach of the AA Harrisburg Senators for 2018. And we even got into the life of the pitching coach and what a pitching coach does in the offseason. So here it is, episode 9 of the Curly W Live podcast, featuring Daniel Johnson and Michael Tejera. Enjoy.
All right. Well, with us now on the Curly W Live podcast is Michael Tejera, who served as the not only the pitching coach of the Mesa Solar Sox this year in their Arizona Fall League, but for the previous seven seasons, he's been the pitching coach of the GCL Nationals. And here he is going to be moving up to AA Harrisburg to be their pitching coach. So, Michael, thank you for taking the time. I know it's the off season, so I appreciate your willingness to come on the podcast and talk about this season.
No, thank you for having me. And I'm more than happy to talk about my experience there in the Fall League and my new assignment as a AA pitching coach.
All right, so let's start with the Fall League, because it was the most recent. How was that experience overall for you? It was your first time in the Fall League, right?
Yeah, that was my first time in the Fall League, yes.
So how did it all go? What did you take from it? Did you you have a good time out there?
Yeah, yes, I did. I did have a good time. You know, it was a great experience overall, getting to know and working with a lot of talents there with different organizations. Seeing those big boys, going about their business, pretty much those guys are close to pitching the big leagues, and their work ethic, their routine that they have to prepare each day and perform on the field. So knowing what kind of program each organization have for. For those guys, it was also a good experience for me.
Did you pretty much take your same approach, in terms of preparation and day-to-day work into your Fall League practices and games as you would in the regular season, or did you change it up a little bit?
No, it's a little different. Normally you take it down a little bit because, you're talking about we're playing in November.
Right.
October, November, so it's pretty much a long season from those guys. So normally, the work is a little bit down. If those guys, they kind of tired. So, but they still doing things. They still throwing their bullpens, doing their flag round and getting ready for the game.
So what was it like coaching? I mean, we had a handful, I believe it was 8 players between pitchers and position players. So what's it like coaching those guys who and have worked with in the past, as well as players from other organizations? Do you kind of gravitate towards just coaching your guys, or do you try to work with all players equally?
Well, you work with your players more. I mean, you don't know what, like I say, every organization is different. What I did was, I told the players that were there, I was more than happy to help those guys in any way that I can do it. But I mean, each organization are different. You know, some like we do tower work, and we talk about being aggressive with fast as an organization. Other organizations, they do different. They don't like to work with, you know, with the tower work, do a tower drill.
Right.
They like to throw more breaking balls. You know, just an example. So you know, I don't want to get in the way of those guys. You know.
Right.
I didn't want to change the routine. You know, I wasn't there for that. Just, you know, I was there. The only thing I told those guys, that whatever help that they need from me, I was more than happy to help.
Okay. So what about the coaching staff? You're with a couple other coaches, not from your organization. I don't know if you knew any of those guys leading into this experience, but, you know, what did you learn from those, your fellow coaches, that you might be able to take, you know, back to our organization here?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I was, you know, the manager was Omar Lopez from the Astros. You know, the Astros, they do things a little bit different than, you know, the Nats. But, you know, it's good to learn, you know, all the, you know, just be aware of all the statistic things that they do, you know, from the, we had a hitting coach from the Cubs. Jacob Cruz, we have Mike Hesman for the Tigers, and the assistant pitching coach was Steve Connolly from the A's. So, you know, like I say, each organization are different, and you know, one of the good things that I took from there, the experience. Everybody does things different, and you know, you learn, you pick. You know, sometimes you pick and learn from those from the things that they do.
Right. I want to talk about a few of the guys on the pitching staff who really stood out. You know, a guy like Kyle MacGowan, he struck out 27 batters in 20 innings pitched. You know, what was kind of the keys to his success this fall league?
You know, Kyle was, you know, his success was he was commanding all his pitches. I mean, he throws his fastball, which is low 90s, and, you know, he was able to command it to both sides, and, you know, his breaking, he had a great feel for his breaking ball, which is his, you know, his slider, which is, was his out pitch over there, and the changeup. You know, he had all three pitches working for him pretty much the whole fall league. The last game was the one that, you know, he didn't have that breaking ball working, and you know, he gave up like 4 or 5 runs the last game, but overall, he was very consistent.
Okay, and then what about...
For him, that's his key, just
right.
Being able to, you know, to locate all his pitches.
Right, and then another player, Jimmy Cordero, looks like he really shined. He allowed 200 runs, you know, in his 9 appearances, and he struck out, you know, 13 batters in 12 innings, only issued 2 walks, which I know is big for Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, did a lot of improvement there. I mean, Jimmy did put a lot of work into it. You know, we did a lot of tough work. He would look for me, and you know, I want to work. I want to get better. So that was a very positive thing to see about, you know, from him. Mm-hmm. And his success was, I mean, Jimmy has a power stuff. I mean,
right.
big league stuff. All his pitches, you know, his fastball, his breaking balls, and his changeup. That's he has average to above average major league pitches. So, you know, his problem in the past was that, you know, he had trouble throwing the ball consistent.
Right.
Over, you know, over the play, and you know, by working his mechanic, and you know, being every day trying to get better, you know, he improved his mechanic, you know, less movement, his delivery, and he was very consistent throwing the ball, you know, over the white.
Like we said in your intro, the last 7 seasons you've been with the GCL club down in Florida, but in 2018 you're gonna, you know, make the jump to be pitching coach of the Double A Harrisburg Senators. You know, what do you anticipate that jump being like for you, and what have guys like Doug Harris or Mark Schlava told you about that jump you're about to make?
I mean, they, you know, when I received the news that I was going over there to Double A, you know, it was great to hear. I mean, I guess they, you know, the organization, you know, Mark, Doug, and even Rich, they. Now they trust me, and you know, by sending me over there to work, you know, it's, you know, at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I'm really looking forward to, you know, to. It's a little bit different from the, you know, from the GCL. I know that, but that's an experience, and that's a, That's a goal that I'm really looking forward to, a challenge that I'm really looking forward to work, you know, in Harrisburg over there with those boys. They are really close to, you know, to make that jump to the big leagues. Just a phone call away from it.
Right. So, like, but actually, you know, that's a good allows me to follow up a little bit. In the past, you've been kind of the first pitching coach that players have seen as professionals. You're dealing with guys that are just drafted and guys that are freshly signed. So how do you think your approach is going to change from working with those young players fresh out of college or the draft to working with players that could be called big leagues at any moment?
Right. No, I think it's you know, it's a little bit different because, you know, with, you know, in the GCL, you know, those guys, like, first, those guys go to, you know, first time that they're going to a professional baseball. So you got to teach them, you know, how to do it, how to act on and off the field. It's just to get that, you know, that base is strong, basically. Don't
right.
relate those guys. Have more experience. They've been around a little longer. You know, you even have a free agent. So you just, for me, I just have to know more each individual. Know their routine. Know how, you know, what they do, what they don't do. So that way I can adjust to each different guy and go from there. Know
right.
the guys and, you know, know the guys and go from there. You know, I think for me, what I have success in the past is the communication. I like to communicate a lot, you know, and like I say, but each guy is different. So
mm-hmm.
you really have to know each guy and go from there. And go for, you know, each guy, you got to approach them different.
Right.
And that's the challenge that I'm really looking forward. And like I say, I think it's going to be easier. Because those guys have been around longer and, you know, pretty much they know what to do. You still have to, for me, you still have to, you know, teach the game and, you know, teach them how to pitch sequence with swings. You know, it's just the little things. But they, you know, for the most part, they pretty much have a better idea of the game, of pitching
mm-hmm.
and all that. But just to communicate and keep, you know, I like to keep those guys. You know, this is a tough game. So for me, what I really look forward is just to keep those guys as positive as I can.
Right.
In those guys' mind, keep them positive.
So during your time in the GCL, you know, kind of going back to that a little bit, was there like one piece of advice you always gave new guys? You know, when they showed up on whether it was at you know, Space Coast Stadium or now West Palm Beach, was when you met them for the first time, you know, is there something you always said to guys, or one piece of advice you gave them along the way?
And, you know, my advice to those guys is, you know, it's just, professional baseball is different from where you're coming from. It's an everyday thing. It's, you know, you're going to fail here, and you know, it's okay to fail. It's, I mean, that's part of the game. It, even
mm-hmm.
the best ones fail, so... The good thing about it is it's an everyday thing, and you can you know, you can go back to what you did wrong, and you just, you know, you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, fail is part of you know, this game, and the sooner that you get out of your mind, you know, the better it's going to be for you.
All right.
You know, a lot of those guys they're coming from college and high school, and they dominate in
right.
high school and college. So they haven't had that experience.
So my last question for you is, what's a typical off season for you like in terms of getting ready for the next season? I know, I mean, you've been working a lot with going to fall league, and I'm sure this is your first kind of chance to calm down a little bit. But, you know, what's an off season like for you in terms of preparation for the next season?
Well, right now I'm just, you know, resting and, you know, having just trying to spend the most time with my father, with my kids,
right.
my wife, you know, just going to my, you know, my son, he's 10 years old, so he's playing baseball, so I'm going to his game, you know,
okay.
help the team, you know, in the practice and all that. So I'm still, believe it or not, being there every other day in a baseball field.
Well, that's a good, hey, you can, nothing wrong with still coaching, and especially I'm sure those young kids you work with really appreciate the time that you put in, and you know, I'm sure it helps them tremendously. So
yeah, I do, and I love it. My son, I really love to be around my son and his team. You know, we had we really have a great team. We have this team from 3 years, so the parents,
uh-huh.
you know, all the kids. So we just came from a tournament in Orlando 2 days ago.
Okay.
and we really have a good time. So, you know, I love it. I love it to be part of it and help those guys, you know, help the coaches, help the kids. That's what I've been doing all my life.
Yeah.
Bro.
So, that's all you know.
Doing it for my son. It doesn't hurt me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. You know, thanks for jumping on the podcast with us. And, you know, have a great offseason. Good luck to your son and his team. And hopefully it makes the coach look good. And, you know, we'll see you in spring training.
All right, Kyle. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. Well, with us now on the Curly W Live podcast is Michael Tejera, who served as the not only the pitching coach of the Mesa Solar Sox this year in their Arizona Fall League, but for the previous seven seasons, he's been the pitching coach of the GCL Nationals. And here he is going to be moving up to AA Harrisburg to be their pitching coach. So, Michael, thank you for taking the time. I know it's the off season, so I appreciate your willingness to come on the podcast and talk about this season.
No, thank you for having me. And I'm, you know, more than happy to talk about my experience there in the Fall League and, you know, my new assignment as a AA pitching coach.
All right, so let's start with the Fall League because it was the most recent. Now, how was that experience overall for you? It was your first time in the Fall League, right?
Yeah, that was my first time in the Fall League, yes.
So how did it all go? What did you take from it? Did you you have a good time out there?
Yeah, yes, I did. I did have a good time. You know, it was a great experience overall, you know. Getting to know, I'm working with a lot of talents there with different organizations. You know, seeing those big boys, going about their business. You know, pretty much those guys are close to pitching the big leagues, and you know their work ethic, their routine that they have to, you know, to prepare each day and perform on the field. So knowing, you know, what kind of program each organization have for those guys. It was also a good experience for me.
Did you pretty much take your same approach, you know, in terms of preparation and day-to-day work into your Fall League practices and games as you would in the regular season, or did you change it up a little bit?
No, it's a little different. No, normally you check it down a little bit because, you know, you're talking about we're playing in November,
right.
October, November. So it's pretty much a long season from those guys. So normally, you know, you know, the work is a little bit down. If those guys, you know, they kind of tired. So, but they still doing things. You know, they still throwing their bullpens, doing their flag round and getting ready for the game.
So what was it like coaching? I mean, we had a handful, I believe it was eight players between pitchers and position players. So what's it like coaching those guys who you know and have worked with in the past, as well as players from other organizations? Do you kind of gravitate towards just coaching your guys, or do you try to work with all players equally?
Well, I mean, you work with your players more. I mean, you don't know what, like I say, every organization is different. And, you know, what I did was, you know, I told the players that were there, you know, I was more than happy to help those guys in any way that I can do it. But, I mean, each organization is different. You know, some like we do tower work and, we talk about being aggressive with fastball as an organization. Other organizations, they do different. They don't like to work with, you know, with the tower work, do a tower drill.
Right.
They like to throw more breaking balls, you know, just an example. So, you know, I don't want to get in the way of those guys, you know.
Right.
I didn't want to change the routine. You know, I wasn't there for that. I was there. The only thing I told those guys, that whatever help that they need from me, I was more than happy to help.
Okay. So what about the coaching staff? I mean, you're with a couple other coaches not from your organization. I don't know if you knew any of those guys leading into this experience, but, you know, what did you learn from those, your fellow coaches, that you might be able to take, you know, back to our organization here?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I was, you know, the manager was Omar Lopez from the Astros. You know, the Astros, they do things a little bit different than, you know, the Nats. But, you know, it's good to learn, you know, all the you know, just be aware of all the statistic things that they do. You know, from the we had a hitting coach from the Cubs, Jacob Cruz. We had Mike Heslin for the Tigers, and Mm-hmm. The assistant pitching coach was Steve Connolly from the A's. So, you know, like I say, each organization are different, and you know, that's one of the good things that I took from there, the experience.
Right.
Everybody does things different, and you know, you learn, you pick. You know, sometimes you pick and learn from those from the things that they do.
Right. I want to talk about a few of the guys on the pitching staff who really stood out. You know, a guy like Kyle MacGowan, he struck out 27 batters in 20 innings pitched. You know, what was kind of the keys to his success this fall league?
You know, Kyle was, you know, his success was he was commanding all his pitches. I mean, he throws his fastball, which is low 90s, and, you know, he was able to command it to both sides. And, you know, his breaking, he had a great feel for his breaking ball, which is, His slider, which was his out pitch over there, and the changeup. You know, he had all three pitches working for him pretty much the whole fall league. The last game was the one that, you know, he didn't have that breaking ball working, and he gave up like 4 or 5 runs the last game. But overall, he was very consistent.
Okay, and then what about...
You know, for him, that's his key. Just
right.
Being able to, you know, to locate all his pitches.
Right, and then another player, Jimmy Cordero, looks like he really shined. He allowed 200 runs, you know, in his 9 appearances, and he struck out, you know, 13 batters in 12 innings. Only issued 2 walks, which I know is big for Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy, I mean, did a lot of improvement there. I mean, Jimmy did put a lot of work into it. You know, we did a lot of tough work. He would look for me, and yeah, you know, I want to work. I want to get better. So that was a very positive thing to see about, you know, from him.
Mm-hmm.
And his success was, I mean, Jimmy has a power stuff. I mean,
right.
big league stuff. All his pitches, you know, his fastball, his breaking balls, and his changeup. That's he has average to above average major league pitches. So, you know, his problem in the past was that, you know, he had trouble throwing the, you know, the ball consistent
right.
over, you know, over the play. And, you know, by working his mechanic and, you know, being every day trying to get better, you know, he improved his mechanic, you know, less movement in his delivery, and he was very consistent throwing the ball, you know, over the white.
Like we said in your intro, the last 7 seasons you've been with the GCL club down in Florida, but in 2018 you're going to, you know, make the jump to be pigeon coach to the AA Harrisburg Senators. You know, what do you anticipate that jump being like for you, and what have guys like Doug Harris or Mark Schlava told you about that jump you're about to make?
I mean, they, you know, when I received the news that I was going over there to AA, you know, it was great to hear. I mean, I guess, you know, the organization, you know, Mark, Doug, and even Rich, they, you know, they trusted me, and, you know, by sending me over there to work, you know, it's, and, you know, at that level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, I'm really looking forward to, you know, to, it's a little bit different from the, you know, from the GCL. I know that, but that's an experience, and that's a goal that I'm really looking forward to, a challenge that I'm really looking forward to work, you know, in Harrisburg, over there with those boys. They are really close to, you know, to make that jump to the big leagues. Just a phone call away from it.
Right. That's a good allows me to follow up a little bit. In the past, you've been kind of the first pitching coach that players have seen as professionals. We're dealing with guys that are just drafted and guys that are freshly signed. So how do you think your approach is going to change from working with those young players fresh out of college or the draft to working with players that could be called the big leagues at any moment?
Right. No, I think it's you know, it's a little bit different because, you know, in the GCL, you know, those guys, like, those guys go to, you know, first time that they're going to a professional baseball, so you got to teach them, how to do it, how to act on and off the field. It's just to get that, you know, that base strong, basically.
Right.
AA, those guys have more experience, they've been around a little longer, you know, you even have a free agent, so you just, for me, I just have to know more, each individual, know their routine, know how, you know, what they do, what they don't do. So that way I can adjust to each different guy and go from there. Know
right.
the guys and, you know, know the guys and go from there. You know, I think for me, my, you know, what I have success in the past is the communication. I like to communicate a lot, you know. And like I say, by, but each guy is different. So mm-hmm. you really have to know each guy and go from there. And go for, you know, each guy, you got a portion different.
Right.
And that's the challenge that I'm really looking for. And like I say, I think it's going to be easier because those guys have been around longer and, you know, pretty much they know what to do. You still have to, for me, you still have to, you know, teach the game and, you know, teach them how to pitch sequence with swings. You know, it's just the little things. But, they, you know, for the most part, they pretty much have a better idea of the game, of pitching mm-hmm. and all that. But just to communicate and keep, you know, I like to keep those guys, you know, this is a tough game. So for me, what I really look forward is just to keep those guys as positive as I can.
Right.
In those guys' mind, keep them positive.
So during your time in the GCL, you know, kind of going back to that a little bit, was there – like one piece of advice you always gave new guys, you know, when they showed up on, whether it was at, you know, Space Coast Stadium or now West Palm Beach, was when you met them for the first time, you know, is there something you always said to guys or one piece of advice you gave them along the way?
And, you know, my advice to those guys is, you know, it's professional baseball is different from where you're coming from. It's an everyday thing. It's, you know, you're going to fail here and, you know, and, you know, it's okay to fail. That's part of the game. Even mm-hmm. the best ones fail. So the good thing about it is it's an everyday thing, and you can, you know, you can go back to what you did wrong, and you just, you know, you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, fail is part of, you know, this game, and the sooner that you get out of your mind, you know, the better it's going to be for you.
All right.
You know, a lot of those guys, because they're coming from college and high school, and they dominate in
right.
high school and college. So they haven't had that experience.
So my last question for you is, what's a typical off season for you like in terms of getting ready for the next season? You've been working a lot with going to fall league, and I'm sure this is your first kind of chance to calm down a little bit. But, you know, what's an off season like for you in terms of preparation for the next season?
Well, right now I'm just, you know, resting and, you know, having a – just trying to spend the most time with my family, with my kids,
right.
my wife. You know, just going to my, you know, my son. He's 10 years old, so he's playing baseball. So I'm going to his game. You know,
okay.
help the team. You know, in the practice and all that. So I'm still, believe it or not, being there every other day in a baseball field.
Well, that's a good day. Hey, you can. Nothing wrong with still coaching, and especially I'm sure those young kids you work with really appreciate the time that you put in, and you know, I'm sure it helps them tremendously. So
yeah, I do, and I love my son. I really love to be around my son and his team. You know, we had we really have a great team. We have this team from 3 years, so the parents,
oh, wow.
you know, all the kids. So we just came from a tournament in Orlando 2 days ago.
Okay.
And we really have a good time. So, you know, I love it. I love it to be part of it and help those guys, you know, help the coaches, help the kids. That's what I've been doing all my life.
Yeah. That's all you know.
Doing it for my son. It doesn't hurt me.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. You know, thanks for jumping on the podcast with us. And, you know, have a great offseason. Good luck to your son and his team. And hopefully it makes the coach look good. And, you know, we'll see you in spring training.
All right, Kyle. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
So thanks again to Daniel and Michael for joining us. As I mentioned to both guys, it has been a long run since the start of spring training. They had spring training, then the regular season, then instructional league, and eventually the Arizona Fall League. So these guys have been going 100 miles an hour since, you know, mid-February. So it meant a lot to have them on the podcast on one of their first days off in a very long time. So as we always say, we want your feedback, so feel free to tweet at me, at Kyle Brostowitz, or at Nationals, and feel free to leave comments on Curly W Live. You can always find the podcast on our blog, Curly W Live, nationals.com/podcasts, and on iTunes. And be sure to subscribe to the blog, as well as to the podcast on iTunes, so you don't miss out on anything. So throughout the season, this has been the portion of the podcast where we looked at the upcoming schedule, promotions, etc. Now we shift that to the offseason, and as the astute baseball fans that you are, you know that one of the biggest league events that takes place in the offseason takes place in mid-December, and that's the baseball winter meetings. this year that'll take place from December 11th through 14th in Orlando, Florida. And as you know, we've seen a lot in the past, including last year with the acquisition of Adam Eaton. A lot can happen that week, so be sure to check out Curly W Live and Nationals.com for all your news and information. We hope to bring you a podcast from the winter meeting, so absolutely be on the lookout for that as well. Don't forget to join us at Winterfest shortly after the winter meetings, December 16th and 17th at the Washington Convention Center. If you haven't already, be sure to head over to Nationals.com/Winterfest to get your tickets. Once again, Nationals fans, thanks for listening. We will see you next time on the Curly W Live podcast.